This is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com.
And this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and we'd like to welcome you back to the New World next week at NewWorldNextWeek.com, and also on Sky Satellite Television on Channel 201, thanks courtesy of ParadigmShift.tv. And it has been a lengthy summer hiatus so far. It's been, a month since our last episode, so thank you all for bearing with that. And I'm getting back into the swing of things here in Japan, and just trying to get some of these video series back going again, so please look for more in the coming days and weeks from CorbettReport.com, but it's good to have all of you back, and it's good to be back with the co-host and co-creator of New World Next Week, James Evan Pilato, to go through three stories that are affecting the world this week and maybe next week as well. So let's start getting into some of the stories. James, what do you have up for us first?
So first is a story from Raw Story, and I have it posted to MediaMonarchy.com. Kids for Cash judge only gets 28-year jail sentence. A former Pennsylvania judge who rendered guilty verdicts in exchange for over $1 million in kickbacks from a for-profit youth rehabilitation center will spend up to 28 years in prison following his sentence hearing last Thursday. Over last weekend, CNN sat down with the mother of one of his victims, a young man who was so distraught by his unjust incarceration that he committed suicide. "It's justice in the sense that he's going to pay for what we've been dealing with for the last 8 years," said Sandy Fonzo, the boy's mother. "True justice, I don't think there ever could be. He'll never live the sentence that I live." And the one comment, James, as you and I both noted, that's on my post, is my thoughts exactly. Surely the appropriate sentence would be a summation of all those he handed out. That was my first thought exactly. Discussed this a little bit with my girlfriend. Her take on it was, having some, you know, taking away his judgeship takes away this power that he had, and just thinking of, do we want to spend money to keep someone like this in jail for 30 years as opposed to keeping, you know, violent offenders in jail? James, what's your take on this? There's so many angles to kind of go at.
Well, I know that corruption and horrible things happen in every society and every time throughout history, but it does seem that there are times when society really does start to degenerate to a degree that just wasn't really thinkable before. And I think having people that are willing to lock children away for minor offenses just to get some cash kickbacks, to me, that's a very much a bellwether of the degradation of our society. I know that, as I say, I know that corruption happens time and time again throughout history, but it's hard to imagine stories like this taking place decades ago. And I think I look at it as a bellwether of where we're heading as a society as we start to get in further and further into this economic collapse that we've been documenting for years and we know is going to continue to get worse. In the 1930s, society still mainly hung together, and a lot of people looked out for each other and helped out. But I just can't imagine things going quite as well in this day and age. And we see that reflected in stories like this. So I find it quite personally quite revolting and disgusting. And I take some solace in the fact that this guy is going to jail, because I think absolutely people who do this to the most vulnerable members of our society deserve something.
And I have to say it that, you know, unfortunately, and I don't call in any way for any kind of vigilante, you know, justice or things like that, but typically people who do things to children don't usually survive very well in the prison system. The other part I want to add on to this is that I can't help but think that this is connected in some way to what we see with the child kidnapping rings and the elites and that whole, you know, the Franklin cover-up, the conspiracy of silence and all of those things. I can't help but think that this is related in some way, shape, or form.
Well, that couldn't happen without some sorts of judges and things being in the back pockets of the politicians and others who are using those services. So, yeah, there must be some sort of relation. And I doubt this guy in particular was involved with that. But yeah, I see the relation.
So you mentioned degradation, James, and that takes us to our second story and working on fleshing this out. And so many of the things, and we'll remind folks, everything we mention here will all be sourced and documented and added in the show notes. But a story coming from the International Business Times, from flash mob to flash rob, five things to know about crime waves. A flash mob in Germantown, Maryland, robbed a local 7-Eleven store in under 1 minute Saturday night. Surveillance footage of the incidents shows a group of teenagers walking wordlessly into the convenience store. They're followed seconds later by a stream of people, presumably juveniles, many covering their faces with shirts and hoods. The group walks around the store taking as much as possible before leaving 40 seconds later. Montgomery County Police believe the event was organized online, likely on Facebook. A total of 28 individuals were captured in the videotape, and investigators say they have identified about half. Video is posted online, and many members of the community came forward with tips. Flash mobs are not new, nor are they unique to Maryland. There are an increasingly frequent trend that have often have severe results, and townships and police departments around the country are trying to figure out how to combat the problem. IVTimes.com goes down 5 points to know about flash mobs. One, flash mobs appear suddenly and without warning, as insinuated by their name. Flash mobs have little rhyme or reason. They are generally organized through technology, either on social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, or through text message, BlackBerry Messenger, or email. Comprised mostly by young people, flash mobs can be peaceful or violent. Sadly, recent flash mobs have trended towards the anarchic. Number two is that doesn't mean they can't be stopped. The city of Philadelphia has been experiencing some of the country's worst flash mobs over the past year, spurring Mayor Michael Nutter to institute a curfew for minors last weekend, and this goes to, you know, fining the parents. But number three, flash mobs are an international phenomenon. Along with Philadelphia and Maryland, there have also been flash mob attacks in Ohio, Illinois, Milwaukee, Iowa, and Washington. Last week's riots in the UK were sparked by the same communication methods that are employed in the US. The riots started when a sudden organized march materialized in Tottenham in North London. When mounted police got involved, both sides panicked, setting off looting, arson, and general mayhem. Thanks mostly to the BlackBerry instant messaging service, youths all over the country began amassing in commercial centers, breaking into stores, destroying everything in their path. 5 people killed in 5 days in incidents the UK police are considering to be murder. Number four, who's to blame? It's easy to blame the technology for the crimes, but social media networks are only a tool and not a cause. In London last week, the media tried to grasp at the cause of the riots, coming up with a number of possibilities, including high unemployment, racial discrimination, and even third world immigration policies. But in the end, as rioters torched cars and looted as much as they could carry, it appeared to be about little more than opportunity. If given a chance, it seems that some members of society will embrace their violent instincts. And the last point, number five, yes, these kids have parents. Mayor Nutter recently lambasted parents who had lost control of their children. He blames inattentive parents for creating an environment in which unsupervised teenagers can run amok at their pleasure. Nutter called parents who give their kids money to go out at night ATMs, and called ineffectual fathers sperm donors. James, we, like I said, I'll add in all of these other stories from Ohio to Maryland to Milwaukee and all around. But before I throw it back to you, one of the articles we'll include from AmericanThinker.com gets to the dicier part of this, and we won't dive fully into this, but it's sort of the unspoken, unstated racial angle to these flash mob, flash rob events.
Right. Well, on the specific Maryland 7-Eleven story, I think it's a good thing that they were stupid enough to not really cover their faces very much. If you actually look at the video, most of them are identifiable, so it's ridiculous. And they decide to rob the local 7-Eleven store. So
yeah,
it's a good thing they were stupid enough to do that, because it's easy to do. But on another angle from this, I think it's one of those stories that when the media covers it, they are implanting the idea, they're furthering the meme, they're helping to sow the seed of this, and I think the media is not stupid enough to not know that. So it's a question of trying to start a meme, I think, in order to spur the crackdown, which is going to come down on it. And we've already seen that in Britain with the idea that social media is now going to be monitored in some way. We've seen the recent brouhaha over BART shutting down cell phone systems to try to prevent mobs coming together. So we're seeing definitely a meme being created here. And again, it's the question, it's not what's in the action, but what's in the reaction. And we're going to start seeing people not only accepting it, but actually clamoring for it. Yes, crackdown on our ability to assemble. Yes, crackdown on our ability to have private communications, because people could be using them for illegal purposes. Mm-hmm. Well, yep, that's unfortunately what happens in a free society. And people Well, I don't know. What is the answer to that? Is the answer to monitor all of our communications at all times? Is that it? Everyone should be suspected as a criminal? Of course not. Or I think not, anyway.
No. And that's, again, all these things are so kind of intimately connected. And I've always kind of felt like here in the States that we tend to, you know, throw money and attention at a problem once it's blown up in our face. And we only do the sort of let's put a Band-Aid on this and never look at the root causes of things and the actual, you know, what could we do to get at the source of these issues? And that would be, you know, the monetary supply and the schooling and all of those things, I think, that we really try to discuss in alternative.
Which is not to put these people off the hook for what they did. I certainly think that these people need to be absolutely taken to jail for what they've done. But the point isn't to crack down on everyone and to monitor everyone's communications because we might be criminals.
And one other point to make is that flash mob originally meant something where people organized to do a sort of like fun, funny street theater thing, whether that's, you know, a pillow fight in Times Square or everybody does the Thriller dance, but it's slowly morphed into what are now being referred to as flash robs. So, James, let's go ahead and jump to our third story because, again, it segues quite well. Posted to MediaMonarchy.com from CBS News. Obama says the biggest terror threat on the 9/11 anniversary is Lone Wolf. With the 10th anniversary of 9/11 approaching, memories of the attacks on that day are surfacing, as well as concerns about an attack on that day next month. In an interview with CNN, President Barack Obama said that he was more worried about a deranged individual perpetrating an attack on the 9/11 anniversary in retribution for killing Osama bin Laden rather than a large-scale attack coordinated by al-Qaeda. As president of the United States, I worry about all of it, but the most likely scenario ends up being a lone wolf operation rather than a well-coordinated attack. One person, deranged or driven by hateful ideology, can do a lot more damage. We are vigilant and constantly monitoring the potential risks of terrorist attacks. We are not letting our guard down. This basically echoes the exact sentiments put out in a joint FBI Homeland Security memo that we provide the PDF link for you. So, James, we're setting the stage on a number of levels here.
Unfortunately so, and it occurs to me that the only thing that the establishment likes more than these wars on abstract nouns that they can use to justify trillions of dollars over, you know, decades and decades and basically funnel all of the attention of society into, like the war on drugs or the war on crime or the war on poverty or the war on terror, is these random lone gunman type attacks, which can always spring up out of nowhere and completely change the game at a moment's notice. And obviously, the example par excellence of that would be something like Lee Harvey Oswald. Just a lone nut came out of nowhere, spontaneously killed the president of the United States, and was taken care of a couple days later. End of story, all wrapped up in a neat little bow, never need to look into it again. And yeah, it was a coup d'etat in America, but, you know, it was no big deal. It's just a lone gunman. So that type of lone wolf attack is something that can obviously be used to benefit the establishment, and it's one of those wild cards that there's no way we can plan for, there's no way we can really know about, but there has already been some speculation that such an attack, if there was some spectacular lone gunman type attack, it would undoubtedly boost Obama's ratings as people rally around the flag, as they always do during such events. Or, I guess the other idea would be, well, if it was a lone gunman type attack, hey, maybe it would be against Obama himself. I mean, JFK was taken out because he was a threat to the establishment. Obama, who knows, you know, they might want to get rid of him because he's no longer serving their purposes. He's just a puppet and he's just expendable. So who knows how that would play out. But again, I think it's incumbent on us not to accept whatever the official version is the second they roll it out, and to look skeptically at these events where these lone gunmen suddenly perpetrate these incredible crimes that could never be perpetrated by a single person.
Referencing again the more recent, so you go from Oswald and jump to July 22nd with Breivik in Norway, and that's what FBI, Homeland Security, and Barry Satoro all reference. James, we are just about out of time, and again, the Norway, the London situation, a lot of these things we haven't covered because we were on hiatus, but I think through my archives and on my show, I've covered a lot of these things, so it's good to be back with you.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and I'm looking forward to seeing everyone on my podcast this Saturday and continuing on in the next few weeks as I start to cover more and more about the 9/11 10th anniversary.
All right, man. Take care.
Take care.